This is Purple Radio on demand.
Hello everyone and welcome back to the Durham Tenants Union podcast. I'm Don, president of Durham Tenants Union, and today we are back after a short break from the Easter time. I hope you're all doing well with your exams and essays as they go across. Luckily I have finished mine, so I'm back in the podcast room. And today we have another interview carrying on from our interview from last week with Dan Lonsdale, the SU president-elect. And today we are joined by Matthew Bolton, or Matt, who is the director of Get My Deposit Back, a initiative that is trying to help students and tenants get their deposit back from their landlords at the end of tenancies. And considering the end of tenancies for many of you is coming along, I thought it would be good for us to have a conversation and be able to talk a little bit about what it is that Matt does, and some tips and some hopefully some success stories about this usually quite stressful and usually quite exploitative time in the student landlord relationship. So hi Matt, welcome onto the podcast. If you'd like to just give a little introduction, talk about yourself in any way you'd like, please feel free.
Okay, hi. Well, thanks for having me on, Don. I'm quite grateful to have this opportunity just to kind of speak to yourself in your podcast. I know we spoke, I remember last in Michaelmas term when when Purple Radio were first sort of offering sort of podcast slots. I remember sort of saying to you, "Oh, I think it'd be good to have the Tenants Union have one, because I think it's covering a useful service that and a useful sort of type of information that a lot of student tenants don't necessarily get from other quarters."
Definitely.
And I'm sure you've probably found that yourself. So yeah, I've got a few bits and bobs I can sort of cover. I'm very happy for you to kind of lead me on what you'd like me to cover today.
Yeah, of course. I think we'll start then with the sort of, if you'd like to kind of just briefly sum up in as in any way you like, kind of what is Get My Deposit Back as a sort of what it does, if you'd like to just talk about that.
So we are, I think I call it a tenant support platform. Broadly speaking, we are what we say on the tin. Our focus is very much on making sure people aren't exploited, and make sure tenants, particularly student tenants, that is one of our focuses, are treated fairly when it comes to the end of their tenancy, and it comes to sorting out, are there going to be any deductions from their deposit or not? It is, and this may be something I'll come on to a bit more, there is, I will say, unfortunately, a standard practice within the lettings industry. For you come to the end of the tenancy, the deposit is basically up for grabs.
Yes.
And a claim is just generally made, regardless of how clean things were, regardless of the condition of the property at the outset. It's just kind of almost standard practice. You come to the end of a tenancy and you get a bill.
Yes.
And on foot, I think what we've seen a lot of, and one of the reasons why I do this, is I think students in particular renting for the first time, no one teaches you at school what to do when that bill comes in.
Yes.
And I think many are just, you guys are busy enough as it is, frankly. You come into your summer after having a busy year. You might be starting jobs, you might be starting any, you mean, you know, you may all be working over holidays if you're coming back to Durham next year. You guys are busy. You do not have time to sort of read up on what are my next steps, can I even contest this?
Yes.
And you've got an agent there, of course, who is backing the landlord to the hilt. Like they are paid by the landlord. They will back them no matter how unreasonable they're being, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
And we just felt that there was a gap there, and we felt that we needed to sort of step in and sort of offer some help to tenants.
Yeah, well, I mean, that sounds brilliant. I mean, I think definitely it's needed. Obviously, the tenants' union, we have had interactions with landlords in general about deposits, but obviously, at the same time, I would argue there's a kind of general feeling of worry upon the students about deposits. It's kind of the thing where they don't say, like, they use phrases like, you know, oh, we'll see if we get our deposit back, implying that they think, regardless of how much effort they've put into, say, keeping the property clean, it's still going to end badly for them in terms of the money. I mean, even for myself renting, I mean, I am aware that, like, when it gets near the end of deposit, I mean, and I'm someone who's in a more, maybe perhaps knowledgeable position, because, you know, I dedicate all my time to this kind of thing. And even I'm, you know, looking around thinking, could they say that's something? Could they say this is something? And obviously I've heard some horror stories about, like, you know, there's been like a peg left in a drawer and they charge like 20 quid or something.
Yeah.
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 So I guess if you do want to talk about sort of what sort of, I guess leading off from that, what sort of unfair claims do landlords often make? Is there any kind of general themes that they kind of always use? If there's anything like that, I'm sure we'd love to hear it.
Yeah, I would say this, one of the standard practices in the lettings industry is you'll move in, you'll be given an inventory or some sort of checking report, some proof of the property's condition. And it's the same document that they've had for years. They just print it out and just hand it to you when they give you the keys every year. Mm-hmm. And it'll claim the property is professionally clean, everything's newly decorated, everything's perfect. And you walk in and
it's not.
It's not at all. It's not at all. It's a student let. Frankly, there was, you know, if you're someone who's getting the keys on the 1st of July, which some of you will do, some of you may wait till September, obviously near the start of term. But if you're getting the keys on the 1st of July, there are people still in that house 24 hours beforehand.
Yes.
And this is just, it's just a fact here. There are only so many professional cleaners out there in Durham who can come and clean those properties. Mm-hmm. So for the vast majority, there just isn't the capacity for someone to come and clean that house before you move in.
Yes.
So you can expect to basically face pre-existing issues whenever you move into a property. And I'd want that to be in the back of people's minds when they move in, that you expect there to be pre-existing issues. So one of the things we'll see is that you'll come to the end of your tenancy and you've had some pre-existing issues when you moved in. You may have dealt with them, you may have cleaned that oven spotlessly yourself. But whatever issues there are come the end, you will then be charged for them. Regardless of, say, you know, you left the oven as clean as you found it, they'll charge you for it.
Yes.
They probably charged the last tenants for it as well and didn't clean it. That's, again, a standard practice. But they're allowed to do that, like that within the rules of the deposit schemes and actually under the law themselves. They can make a charge for an issue and they don't actually have to fix it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you can just have this issue where that issue will just be there year after year after year and they can charge for it year after year after year. And that's a very common issue. Cleaning is the most common deduction that a landlord will seek. Cleaning issues are very common. Ovens, showers, those are always the common areas where they'll sort of go for. It will depend slightly on who's checking the property at the end of the tenancy.
Okay.
Some agents will literally go around with a finger on all the skirting boards, and if there's a speck of dust, they're like, right, £25 for that.
Yeah.
It's hard. It can be, some will go to town, some will just go for the big ticket items, but when you move out, expect there to be a claim made on your deposit. And
yes.
It's about knowing what you need to do when that happens.
And obviously, I think that is something that I've even noticed, like, regardless of my role in the tenants union. Because when I moved out of my previous let in Durham, basically there was an issue with one of my mates who was in the house, and they had to stay in Durham for an extra week, and they were asking if they could stay there longer. Mm-hmm. But they said, oh, the new tenants are moving in tomorrow.
Right.
And I thought, well, hang on, we're literally moving out in the evening of the day before.
Yeah.
Yet the next day I woke up and all of us had £15 taken off our deposit for cleaning. And I thought, how on earth?
Yeah.
And I guess, now you've put it like that, I mean, obviously with the inventory forms, and I think we'll talk about inventory forms in a bit, because I think that's probably a very important thing. But I guess you've mentioned sort of this idea of you should expect these unlawful deductions to be coming. So I guess, let's say a deduction has occurred.
Yeah.
What are the next steps for a tenant or for a group of tenants?
Yeah, well, I would say basically to get that inventory out and to basically see what it says.
Mm-hmm.
Because a claim will come in. Sometimes they're quite vague. I do sometimes see claims for just cleaning, £400.
Yeah, what does that mean?
What? and you have to, again, that's just kind of par for the course with this. Like you're often dealing with letting agents who are trying to spend the bare minimum amount of time per property on dealing with all these end of tenancy claims. But what you need to do is, you need to basically have in your head an idea of what the property was like when you moved in, and the inventory is your record for that.
Mm-hmm.
And look, if the oven was spotlessly clean when you moved in, and the inventory says it was, and you've left it a mess, there's not really a lot you can do.
Okay.
You are probably going to have to pay for that to be clean. Like, there's not really a lot of wiggle room there. And generally cleaning, it is generally your obligation is to make sure that you return it as clean as you found it.
Okay. Yes.
And the as you found it state is what the inventory says. It's not necessarily what it actually was, of course. It's all about the inventory on that. But with damage, it's different.
Okay.
Or any wear and tear, because it's kind of expected under the law expects that there will be some wear and tear on the property.
Yes, of course.
When you move in, you're going to have, you've been walking on that carpet, you've had your hand on that light switch, turn it on and off, hundreds of times.
Yes.
There will be wear and tear. The law expects that, and you cannot be charged for that.
Okay.
But if there's obviously any damage that goes beyond fair wear and tear, you've power bombed your mate through the dining table or something at some point, right? Uh-huh. These things happen. you will probably have to pay something for that. But you can't be charged the full replacement cost.
Okay.
Under any circumstances.
Okay.
And in some cases, you can actually get away without having to pay anything.
Okay, yeah.
So it's about, I guess what I'll say is if that deduction claim comes in, be ready to contest it.
Okay. And how would the contesting process kind of go forward? Like say, hypothetical example, say you moved into the property and there was a lot of damage onto one of the walls.
Yeah.
You got to the end of your tenancy, and the landlord is charging you £200 on the deposit for fixing the wall, and you have, say, for example, photos from the beginning of the tenancy, you have the inventory form. I understand there's obviously deposits are protected via the various schemes, so I guess you have all that information, you have this problem. Where does it progress from that point?
Yeah. So you would need to contest it with the landlord at some point. So
okay,
the schemes expect you to have had some dialogue with the landlord about the deduction. So when that email comes in, you need to just be, and you don't have to go to town on this. You can just basically, you can even be short and sweet as saying, it was damaged when we moved in, so we don't think we should have to pay anything.
Yes.
The landlord can't take any money from your deposit unless you consent to it.
Okay.
Well. So there's a lot of the times you'll get an email phrased as almost like an invoice saying,
yes,
we're charging you £400.
Okay.
And it's almost as if there's no choice about this.
Okay.
And that is not how this works.
All right.
All.
Okay. That's very important to stress. Yeah. Yes.
And the deposit schemes will back you on that if the landlord or agent aren't. But yeah, you can test it with them. Just be professional. Bear in mind that any emails you send to the landlord will probably be seen by the deposit scheme.
Yes.
If things get that far. So you don't want to be the party who's throwing the toys at the pram.
Okay.
Let that be the landlord rather than you.
Makes sense.
Just contest it. Give them a bit of time to respond. If they don't come back to you quickly, go to the deposit scheme and say, we can't agree on this. Can you please adjudicate?
Okay.
And that's what they're there to do.
Fair enough. Okay, makes sense. Seems like a fairly... So I didn't know that you had to consent to them taking the money, because I remember when they asked me for the money, it did come through like an invoice where they had, a lot of, I'll use the phrase buzzwords, where it was like cleaning and a cost, and then like repairs and then a cost, and then like it went through like a long list, and then they were just like, this is our opinion on the matter, and then I was just like, don't really know what I'm supposed to really do here.
And believe me, that is so, that right there is one of the reasons why I think we exist, because that is such a common experience, because you say you've never rented before, you've never been through this before. No one's telling you. Frankly, the deposit schemes could do a much better job of telling you that when you come to the end of your tenancy. Some of them will send you an email that says, you come to the end of your tenancy, make sure that you clean the property, make sure, like basically putting the onus on you to do everything. They don't mention, oh, by the way, they can't charge you the full replacement cost. Oh, by the way, it's up to you whether any money comes out of your deposit. But I think knowing that puts you in your mind in a much stronger position, because you're thinking, okay, no, actually, this is up to me. I'm not like, yes, or it may even be, yeah, there was a bit of wear on that. And yeah, maybe that does go a bit beyond fair wear and tear. Maybe I will offer them a little bit of money for it, but I'm not giving them £500 for it.
Yes, very, okay.
It puts the power is basically with you on whether or not you are willing to agree to this. On that, I will just say is one of the common tactics you'll see to get you to agree to that initial email is they'll say to you, you've given them your security deposit was £500. They're after £300 from you. They'll say to you, right, well, you need to agree to this £300 before we can return the rest to you.
Okay.
Like implying that, you know, you've got to agree to this. Regardless of how unreasonable it is, you must agree to this, otherwise you're not getting back the rest. That is against the law. That is against how the rules of the schemes work. They can make you can have a dispute about that £300, that's fine, but they have to give you back the rest.
Okay.
And to do it promptly.
Mm-hmm.
They are not allowed to basically hold it to ransom.
Yes, okay, fair enough. That makes a lot of sense.
So many tenants end up being strong-armed into agreeing to deductions that they know full well are unreasonable, but they're like, well, I need the rest of that money. Frankly, mm-hmm. I can't afford to just have that sat there for ages and ages. Okay, fine, I'll agree.
Yeah.
I've literally had tenants facing massive, I know there's one I can think of last year where they're facing a massive claim, and it was absolutely ridiculous. There was no evidence for it.
Mm-hmm.
But they came to me basically too late, and they'd already agreed to it. Yeah. The landlord had told them, well, I'm not going to return the rest of your deposit until you agree to this.
Mm-hmm.
They're not allowed to do that.
Yeah.
But many do.
I see. Yeah. Well, so it sounds like kind of the process is sort of making sure you use the deposit scheme as it's intended to be used, with the idea that you have the sort of power to consent to reductions, and you can use them as for arbitration purposes, and kind of making sure the dialogue is done in a professional way. I guess we'll talk about this quite briefly, because I understand it's a bit more of a theoretical point and I want to kind of make sure this is useful tips. But you mentioned that the deposit protection schemes could do a lot more, and it sounds like they do seem to, because I can't even think on the top of my head any information they've given me. I've kind of just remember the emails they've sent being like, it's now protected, or like, did your landlord give you this piece of documentation or whatever?
Yep.
So outside of the deposit protection scheme sort of doing perhaps a more educational thing, maybe for example they could do what sort of the how to rent guide, but like a version of it for the deposits that has to be sent out to tenants or something. Do you think there's anything else that could be, apart from landlords just, you know, not being like this, is there anything kind of maybe at large you think would be useful to kind of reduce this kind of, it sounds like a sort of very embedded culture of how they deal with deposits?
Absolutely. What I would have liked, really, I mean, obviously I know there's some renters charter stuff coming through, House of Commons and stuff, and you know, there does sound like there are going to be some enhanced rights for tenants coming. Sounds like they're getting watered down a bit as things progress through.
Yeah, we spoke about
like
this.
Something's coming through.
We spoke about this a few episodes ago, where we were saying we were kind of comparing a kind of initial consultation documentation about 2 years ago, and then what's going through now. We were kind of saying there's a few things changed here, and like those things that have been changed are quite big.
Yeah. And it's literally happening in the last week. I know there's just like, and expect it to be watered down a bit. I mean, like, there will be the end of Section 21 will be great.
Yes, so of course.
It does sound like that will come. What I would like to see, what I think would break this cycle, or that I've sort of talked about, of agents just or landlords just handing over the same inventory year after year that's inaccurate, and then basically billing the same thing year after year that's also inaccurate, and get to pocket that money, is I would like to see almost the whole process just be done on one central, it could be a government site or some site that's ran by the three deposit schemes in general, that's basically they upload, you basically do everything goes through that. And so if the landlord wants to make a claim against you, it's not a private email between you and them that no one can scrutinize.
Yes, of course.
It's done on this portal that can be seen by whoever wants to oversee this or anyone else. And it has the evidence that the landlord used in for the prior tenants for any deposit deductions that they wanted from that. And that evidence almost and that maybe the state of the property when they moved out, barring any proof that the property was cleaned, that becomes your inventory. And then that's then used to decide whether you should face any charges. And that would break that cycle
It sounds like a good idea. I mean, because it seems like at the moment, you are right, I do think this is intentional, the problem we have is that the landlord-tenant relationship is viewed as a sort of boxed-in, private sort of affair. Whereas it seems like what would be more fair is having it so, especially considering the current system of how landlords have a lot more power in the kind of bargaining relationship. It's a similar sort of thing you're taught in, like, the idea of why employment law exists is because of the unequal bargaining power. It seems like every time a new tenant moves in, the landlord should have to refresh the inventory and re-put it out onto some sort of thing where someone can look over and be like, okay, yeah, because obviously, like, I'm not expecting, like, a scheme to be able to like check every property that's being rented across the country, because that would just be like too much of an ask, but like even just having it so they can, like a tenant can take a photo and then be like, this does not match, and then there's some sort of like regions, because at the moment that the inventory form is, you know, because I remember like I've had both sides of an inventory form, like on one side I got an inventory form which was about like 120 pages long and I had literally like every single possible item in that property photographed.
Yeah.
To the point where I was like, there's probably things I've never even noticed the entire time I've lived here that are on there.
Yep.
Whereas on the flip side, I've also had an inventory form which has no photos on it, and it's just a 2-page document with writing being like, this has this in it. So yeah, I'm glad we talked about that. But I guess just to move on, I guess we spoke briefly about this already, but I guess we'll start again. What steps should tenants be taking in this regard? So the stuff that they can probably do at the beginning, it seems like during the tenancy, it's just a case of keep the property in a fairly decent condition. But at the beginning and at the end, seems like where the main things are. So what would you suggest for tenants at the beginning, and what would you suggest for them at the end to try and, you know, it sounds like we can't avoid this problem, but how would they reduce the likelihood of problems arising as much as possible?
Exactly. Yeah, you've just got to play the game. That's the system is what it is, and you just need to know how to play that game. So yeah, start a tenancy, you scrutinize that inventory to within an inch of its life.
Yes.
You're probably giving it with the keys. Do not sign it in the letting agency to get the keys.
Okay. Yes.
First of all, I absolutely do not do that.
Mm-hmm.
If they are literally saying to you, you know, if they're forcing you, like, we won't give you the keys unless you sign this document. Sign, like, write on it, I haven't viewed the property. Like, you can write whatever, this is a good thing, that inventory is your document. You write on it whatever you want to write on there. If they're saying to you, we won't give you the keys unless you sign this document, you say, okay, I haven't seen the property, sign a date. Mm-hmm. It makes that inventory basically, that piece of paper completely worthless.
Okay.
Essentially. And then, but what you take that with you, you go to the property and you check everything.
Okay.
Like, unfortunately, the process, it's going to, you might have spent about an hour of time when you first move in, sort of within the first 24 hours. You need to do that. That's your part of this game.
Okay.
You've got to do those checks. But yeah, you go around there, you just, anything that's inaccurate, you cross out what's there and you write what's there. You make sure you're happy it's 100% accurate, and mm-hmm. only then do you sign it and return it. Take photos of anything to back up what you're saying. So if you're saying that the property isn't clean,
mm-hmm.
take photos to prove that.
Yes.
Make sure, if you can, have a timestamp on those pictures as well.
Okay.
That's always helpful. But then just return it promptly. What I do is print it out, write all over it,
mm-hmm.
Sign it, take photos of that, and then email those back to the landlord or agent as soon as you can.
Mm-hmm.
And you can include your pictures to back up
what
you're saying as well. What that then does is that basically draws a line in the sand and says, right, on this date, this is the condition of the property.
Okay.
It makes it very hard for the landlord to argue at a later date, oh no, that's what it was months into the tenancy, because no, the date of my email is within a day of me getting the keys.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That sort of thing is really powerful evidence. That can make or break any defense that you're going to have
makes sense.
Against a deposit claim. End of the tenancy, get that inventory out. And because bear in mind, your amendments will become the definitive copy of the inventory. That prior copy will be superseded.
Mm-hmm.
Your amended copy will be the definitive copy. Get that out at the end of the tenancy. Make sure you return the property as clean as it says in there.
Okay, yes.
That's going to be a big one, because that is your obligation there.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And then basically just make sure that your any deductions that then come in reflect what the property's condition was.
Of course, yes.
At the outset. Getting cleaning right is quite a big one. Like, cleaning charges just for cleaning an oven alone can be a few hundred pounds.
Okay.
Potentially. So, like, getting that right is important. Yeah. Like, don't leave all the cleaning until the last day. Like, probably do if you do need to do any, like, get it started a few days beforehand.
Yeah.
Make sure all the tenants are chipping in. Don't let everyone else move out and then you're left to do the whole house.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, don't let that kind of situation happen. Like, have a chat with your housemates, agree what you're going to do, go to Wilco and spend £2 on, you know, some microfiber cloths and, you know, a bit of flash. Honestly, just a clean damp cloth wiping down your walls makes a massive difference.
Doesn't
need to have any chemicals in it, just clean water, clean cloth, wipe down your walls, wipe down your skirting boards. That will make a huge difference,
mm-hmm.
on how clean the property looks, mm-hmm. to someone who's going to assess it. Same for your electricity and gas meters. take pictures of those when you move in, take pictures of those when you move out. Make sure that you're only paying, like, energy is expensive right now. That makes sure you're only paying for your own usage.
Yes. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. I mean, it sounds like it's kind of things we tell people as well. It's kind of the idea of, like, the documentation you have is all you really have, because unfortunately, if it gets to a point of one word against another, the landlords hold a lot of the power in the relationship. So it's a case of, like, you know, every email you send, make sure you know where it's going to be.
Yep.
Don't, like, just lose it. Make sure the inventory form is either. And I've seen this suggested elsewhere, and I'm sure you can tell me if you think it's a good idea or not. Like, if landlords are, say, not providing an inventory form, which they're supposed to, but obviously sometimes it's a bit difficult to get them to move on it. Or if they're providing an inventory form that's just completely terrible, just make your own. Just go around the house, take photos of yourself. Yep. Yes.
Well, so if you don't get an inventory, still take the pictures of all the issues.
Yes.
And email those pictures over to the landlord anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah,
mm-hmm.
Just do that regardless. If there's an inventory, they're great. You mentioned just earlier on about how you'd receive an inventory that was 120 pages, and then you see one that was 2 pages.
Mm-hmm.
That 2-page one is the most dangerous.
Yeah.
Because there's no proof of what it says.
Yeah.
So if you get a really short inventory and it's claiming things are perfect,
mm-hmm.
that is a really dangerous document for you.
Yes.
You need to basically be scrutinizing that and make sure that you are keeping a photographic record of what the property looks like,
yes.
top to bottom.
Definitely.
Check under furniture, check in the oven, you know, check for mold around the shower. Those are really common issues that come up. Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. Well, that sounds great. I guess to kind of leave off this part of the discussion, I do want to talk about the other thing that I think you do quite a lot with your Get My Deposit Back. But before that, I guess to try and uplift the sort of conversation we've had, have you had any sort of discussions with tenants where they've had some really serious deductions and you've had some success with trying to stop these deductions from happening, like some success stories, any nice examples to show how the things we've talked about have been implemented and worked, I guess?
Absolutely. So so it's one of the things that if you use the system right, you will not have to pay
mm-hmm.
fair deductions. Like that, I want to absolutely make that point to people. This is not, don't go into this thinking, oh, I'm just gonna lose my deposit, or I'm just gonna lose a few hundred quid here,
mm-hmm.
as though it's a given. Like it really isn't. There's one springs to mind. There was a student renting a flat in London last summer. The property had problems with damp and mold, very common issue. The bathroom fan was broken,
mm-hmm.
which didn't help with that probably.
Mm-hmm.
He'd reported that issue
mm-hmm.
to the agent using like their own system that they had for reporting issues. Came to the end of the tenancy, the landlord wanted £300
okay.
to sort out this damp and mold.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, it's been there since I moved in. It's a pre-existing issue.
Yes.
And he was aware, I think I'd had a conversation with him about, you're not liable for pre-existing issues.
Yes.
Right? And that's absolutely true. So he basically fought this, went back to him and said, I'm not prepared. Like, you know this has been an issue throughout
mm-hmm.
the tenancy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not paying for this. Very politely. And the landlord came back and said, right, okay, I want £400 for it now. It's like, oh, I gave you a discount, but you know that was for goodwill, blah blah blah, I want £400 now.
Yeah.
And you know, the agent's backing them to the hilt on this, going,
yeah.
you know, he's entitled to this, you know, blah blah blah, if you want the rest of your deposit back,
okay.
you need to agree to this. That common kind of tactic. We took it to the deposit scheme because we're just like, forget this, you know, there had been the necessary dialogue between the landlord, fine. We then went to the deposit scheme. They awarded £75.
Okay.
The only reason it wasn't zero
mm-hmm.
was the tenant didn't have proof that he had raised the issue during the tenancy.
Okay.
And the adjudicator said, tenants are required to raise issues, you know, to report issues as they are. I haven't got any proof that you did, so I'm going to give the landlord, that was, what, 15-something% or something around there of his claim.
Okay.
That's how much I'm going to award him. So I guess the message there is, yeah, obviously contest things,
mm-hmm. of course,
but also... Yeah. If there are any repair issues in the property, report them by email.
Yeah.
Don't rely on the agent's own reporting system.
Yes.
Just send an email to them. Don't phone them.
Yeah.
Don't go in person. Send an email.
Send an email, because then there's the record, and that's all that really matters for the deposit and adjudication.
My other one that's probably my favourite one
mm-hmm.
was an 8-bed house share in Manchester.
Mm-hmm.
And the claim was... Like the house was an absolute state when they moved in, absolutely horrendous. And you know, they didn't return it perfectly, but like it was absolutely filthy when moved in. decor was falling off the walls when they moved in.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't perfect when it was handed back over, but it was at least no worse than it was.
Yes, okay.
Landlord wanted £3,250 to clean the entire, because it's obviously an 8-bed, it's like a big 3-story HMO house, to basically clean and redecorate everything. Mm-hmm. The entire house, every bedroom, the works. They basically sent an invoice for £3,250 to them. And he had no evidence to support anything.
Okay.
There was no inventory. There was just an invoice at the end saying how much he wanted. From like his tradesperson that he obviously gets to generate his invoice. That's all he had. We took it to the deposit scheme and they just threw it out and went, no, not going to pay it. And he got nothing.
Got nothing. Well,
absolutely
nothing.
And I think I brought a note to this one for me. So it was that he said, the adjudicator looking at it said, literally the report was about 2 paragraphs. It was the shortest report I've ever seen from an adjudicator. Said, the document purporting to represent a checkout of the property is not dated and there's a complete distinct lack of evidence. Mm-hmm. So just basically, so I'm throwing out the entire claim.
Yeah.
That's just...
there
that's,
you go.
But if the tenant said that they'd spoke to the prior occupants and they got the same bill the prior year.
Oh,
but,
well.
but they paid it.
Ah, well.
Contest things, go to the deposit scheme.
There you go. Well, that sounds, I mean, it sounds like it's good to have success stories. And it's good to see that like the idea of contesting does work. Like you say, it's a shame that we have to play the game because on the end of the day, it should just work. But since it doesn't, if you have to play the game to save, you know, because it's not daft amounts of money. It's like, it's not trivial amounts of money. It's incredibly large amounts of money for a lot of people, especially for these 8, 9, 10 bed houses and these huge HMOs. I think that's really sums up that side of what you do. But there is one thing that I do want to, the final thing I want to talk about, which I've seen you kind of advertise a lot, which I've personally not seen a lot of information about, apart from through you. So it's this kind of energy bill support payment from Durham's County Council. I guess I'll just throw in, you know, what is it? Money available, who's eligible, all that stuff. Feel free to just talk about what this is and like kind of explain, you know, why it's here, etc. Because not a daft amount of money to get for a house. So yeah.
No, absolutely. So it's basically, this is a national scheme that's running across England. It's funded by the government.
Mm-hmm.
With the monies for it's been distributed to local councils, so they're the ones who actually pay it. So for you guys here, it's Durham Council. Kind of what you've alluded to, the communication about the scheme to students has been very poor and very, very misleading. So student take-up has been, and this isn't just in Durham, this is nationally, it's incredibly low.
Yes.
Very, very few students have come forward to claim this money. So yeah, if we kind of like to just take a few minutes to hopefully try and fix this. So it's £150 per household.
Okay.
That is available to the majority of students who were renting from a landlord in April 2022. So this is April last year.
Okay.
So if you're in your second year and this is your first time renting, this isn't for you.
Okay.
I've got something for you, which I will just touch upon
after this,
potentially. And if you're a fresher as well, who's living in college, this isn't for you. I'm thinking here, third years, fourth years, postgrads.
Yes.
This one is for you. To be eligible, you've just got to meet two requirements. Number one, that your tenancy agreement covers the 1st of April 2022, that date's within your tenancy agreement. And the second one is that the property is in council tax band A to D. Now, some of you have just heard council tax band and you've just switched off because you've gone straight away, oh, I don't pay that.
Yeah,
I can't be eligible. You do not need to pay council tax to be eligible for this money.
Okay.
So students are as eligible as anyone else in Durham for this money.
Mm-hmm.
That has been so poorly explained.
Yes, yeah.
Literally, you can go you can go onto big national media sites, big national tenant charity sites about this, and they will tell you have to pay council tax to be eligible for this.
Okay.
And that's wrong.
That's wrong.
And that's wrong. So if you meet those two requirements, the property is in band A to D, and you were renting it, your tenancy agreement covers the 1st of April 2022, then you are eligible. To check your council tax band, you just need to go to gov.uk and search for check council tax band or something along those lines. And the government have a little checker where you just put in the property's address and it'll tell you what band it's in. Okay. For the vast majority of students in Durham, that the property will be somewhere between band A to D.
Okay.
So the vast majority will be eligible for this who were renting in April last year.
Okay, brilliant.
We think that there's probably around at the moment 2,000 to 3,000 April 2022 student households who haven't come forward.
Okay.
From conversations I've had with the council, the figure's somewhere around there.
In just Durham?
Just in Durham.
Oh, okay.
Just in Durham City. So we're talking somewhere around £300,000 to £450,000 of support, financial support for students that's there on the table during a cost of living crisis that's not being claimed.
Yes. Okay.
So it's there's a lot of money here.
Definitely
involved.
Worth it, yes.
So how to apply?
Yes.
What you need to do is someone, doesn't have to be all the tenants, can just be one of the eligible tenants who was renting the property on the 1st of April 2022, needs to email erstudents, so that's Echo Romeo students at durham.gov.uk, and just state that you're claiming the £150 energy bill support payment, give your name, property address, copy of the tenancy agreement, and your bank details for payment.
Okay.
And then you should get paid within about 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a description on the podcast that we can pop that, those instructions?
Yes, definitely,
onto?
Yeah. We can, that will be in the description of the podcast where we'll say sort of the websites to go to, the email, etc., where to check, how to check the council accounts brand, And I guess that, you know, obviously, it's because I think a lot of people may be looking like, oh, I was in a 10-bed house and like maybe is it worth going into this ever? But it does sound like, because when I've read, because I think it's unfair to say I haven't been given any information because I have, but like when I've read through the sort of like email that you get, like the sort of like, oh, by the way, this is available, in the same way you get sent an email where it's like there's a random lecture on, you know what I mean? Like it's not really given any sort of importance. You know, I read through and I was like, council tax band, like, oh, what is this? Like, I'll go to this email and website, what the huge, is this going to be like 4 pages of documentation that I've got to sign for like 6 people? But it sounds weirdly incredibly easy to just do it.
It is one of the things that we've, I've worked, I will say, I know there's understandable bit of friction between the student body and university management over last year for very understandable reasons.
Yes.
I have been horrified by the housing crisis in Durham.
Same as us.
As a Durham graduate, I've been absolutely horrified at how bad things have got. But where they get things right, I guess we should probably note that as well. And I will say the community liaison managers in the Pro Vice Chancellor's office, so Hannah Shepherd, Rebecca Reeves, have been incredibly helpful with me on this.
Okay, well, that's good.
In basically setting up meetings with various parts of the university to help try and raise some awareness of this. And without their help, we wouldn't have made the progress that we have, at least so far. But what the problems we've had is the council initially, and I don't know if they'll mind me saying this or not, but it's true. Students basically were functionally prevented from applying for this for quite a while last year, and we had some meetings with them to basically break down those barriers. The process before basically just there was no way that a student could actually apply for it meaningfully. What we've now got is a really sort of streamlined
process
that they can use. So you may have seen some instructions a while ago that required you to go onto this and required you to request this and get this form. It's now just a simple email.
Okay, fantastic. Well, there you go. That's fantastic. I mean, I guess I think that sums that up lovely. I think we'll just kind of end. I mean, you just mentioned you are doing a graduate. What college were you at?
Collingwood.
There you go. Yeah. Stevenson, myself, both on the Hill.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I guess I'll ask sort of, I mean, obviously you've graduated now, and I understand Get My Deposit Back is nationwide or fairly
Absolutely. I go up and down.
I mean, I guess like how did you get into this area? If other people are interested in wanting to get into a similar sort of, you know, help, how would they want to do something like you do? And I guess like why did you decide to kind of set this up?
I'd had probably my own personal experience of being ripped off by a landlord, partly in the back of my mind. You hear anecdotally that people talk about come to the end of the tenancy and, you know, they get ripped off on their deposit.
Yes.
And I guess it just occurred to me, I thought, well, I know from my own experience that hadn't happened. Like I had gone through the processes. I had, you know, spent the hours reading all the rules and all the documentation, yes, all the guides about how you avoid these deductions. Like I had some big claims, very unreasonable claims. It wasn't that I trash where I live. It was, you know, they were unreasonable claims. And had to fight them. So I just ended up coming out of all that going, well, actually, I know what to do here now. And I thought, well, there's a lot of, and then you hear from, I hear from colleagues at work, think, oh, you know, who are having problems with this. And you're just aware that there's just this issue. It's just kind of like simmering. It's just there all the time. And it's, and I thought, I felt I could do something about it. I'd kind of had an idea in my head that I would run this as a little side project, but it just ended up being, there was an opportunity for me to basically go fully with this.
Yeah.
And I took it.
Mm-hmm.
We did some research to basically see how widespread this issue was. All the research backed a massive knowledge gap between, yes, landlords and tenants.
Mm-hmm.
Landlords have been renting out their properties for years. They've got many have a letting agent backing them,
uh-huh,
versus student tenant renting for the first time. Yeah. They're, you know, sometimes gaslit, they're, yeah, always misled,
yes,
by their landlords and, mm-hmm, agents. So we thought, no, there's something we can do here to help. And we just started offering this. Started offering this out. Building a sort of social media following is a bit of a slog. Like that took some time, and even just getting to sort of build up some contacts at universities to,
yes,
basically trust that we're not trying to scam people. Like we are completely tenant focused. I do no work for landlords at all.
Yeah.
Like that is not, and I never will. That is not what this organization is for. Mm-hmm. We are there solely to help tenants. Landlords have enough help. They've got they've got themselves, the years of experience. They've got letting agents there.
Yeah.
Tenants, or
they've got like the Landlord Association,
exactly. Yeah, the NRLA, they've got, you know, all the resources that provide. Frankly, I mean, I won't say that this means the deposit schemes are biased, because they're not, but they do. But the landlords pay them,
yeah,
in some cases to provide the service that they provide to them, like in protecting the deposit.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they get like webinars, they get like all sorts of resources on the basically trying to teach them how you should treat deposits when they move out. Many don't listen, obviously,
yeah, yeah.
That's why we're here, but yeah, they have lots of support. Tenants do not get anywhere near that level of support.
Mm-hmm.
Like shelter, they won't get involved in actually fighting for you on the deposit deduction.
Mm-hmm.
They'll give you some advice on, you know, here's what to do, go to the scheme.
Yeah.
But they won't actually get involved in the nitty gritty.
Yeah.
We do.
Yes.
Like we'll look over your case and we'll give you advice on, like, is this worth contesting? Because if it's not, like, don't bother. Like,
yeah,
don't fight something. Don't fight a battle that you're not going to win. But just to give you an idea of the sort of figures on this, the data shows that about no more than about sort of 2-4% of tenants will contest deductions and take it actually to the deposit scheme
that's
adjudication.
That's a stark figure.
But when they do, about 80-90% of the claims are rejected.
Oh, well, there you go.
That's why you should.
That's why you should contest.
That's why you should fight them. That's why you should contest. So one of the things I think we are about is basically encouraging, supporting tenants, either through our social media posts, or they want us to actually get involved in the nitty gritty and advising,
mm-hmm,
them on,
mm-hmm,
on whether this is worth fighting, or even running their dispute for them, is getting people to contest these issues and to take it to the deposit scheme,
yes,
for a fair outcome.
Definitely. I mean, it sounds brilliant. I mean, it seems like your sort of reasoning behind stuff is kind of a similar reasoning behind why I try and keep the tenants union going, and why, you know, Jake and Dara, who's on the M executive as well, do amazing work to kind of keep this running. It's because there is a sort of culture at Durham, and I would be shocked if it wasn't the same everywhere else across the country, which is that, like, you will get a bad deal in this relationship, and that's just to be accepted. It's like, you will lose your deposit, you will have bad conditions, you will have high rent.
Yep.
But, like,
yep,
it shouldn't be like that. Like, the structure of the relationship is heavily favored for landlords, but that doesn't mean that we can't maneuver in the system a bit to make it a little bit fairer. Obviously, widespread change will be needed to fix the issues, but in terms of, like, the here and now,
yeah,
I think we need to kind of break down the narrative that we have to just accept it. And it sounds like it's a similar sort of situation.
But I said I had something for people who
oh,
are
yes,
in
of course,
the, in,
apologies,
who are in
the
second, yes, year.
You so, mentioned you had some stuff for first years. Let's,
yes,
not forget them.
Well,
freshers, I just went to ignore you there. Let's go back
that's
to
okay.
that. Please say
The freshest thing is, I guess, what I've got for you is the tips about what to do when you move in. So,
oh, fantastic.
That's
please.
That's right there. So I've covered that one already. So you've got that information there.
Yep.
Scrutinize that inventory.
Scrutinize it. Inventory. Definitely.
Take your own pictures. Mm-hmm. For second years, who are already renting, and everyone else, third years, fourth years, postgrads, there's probably also another £400 plus of energy bill support available from the government again. I probably haven't got time to go into massive detail on this now, but if you go onto my social media, onto my Instagram, at get my deposit back.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Little plug.
Oh, please plug.
We put a post up on this last week. So
I see it here.
Not sure when this is coming out, but it'll be one of our more recent posts. I think it's the one with the turquoise background.
Yes, it is, yes.
Basically just talking about this, for those who are in a bills included tenancy, we're seeing a lot of landlords are basically, the support's going to them for them to pass on to tenants. Guess what's happening?
Not passing it on.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Exactly. So you need to be aware of that. Mm-hmm. And basically just ask for it. If you want to wait until your tenancy's finished so it doesn't sort of pollute the relationship you've got with the landlord, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But just be aware that this money's there. Mm-hmm. I've got more information say on the post on what to do.
Fantastic.
There's a template email you can send.
Brilliant, yeah. It seems like the main thing is, like, if you're in a bills included tenancy and you've not had some money, you should probably look into this. It seems to be the kind of sentence.
Yeah, it's either the money needs to come off the bill itself when it's in your final bill, and again, my post covers this in a bit more detail, or the landlord's literally transferred the money to your bank. Yeah.
Fantastic. Okay, that's brilliant. Yeah. If there's nothing else you think that needs to be said, that's fantastic. But yeah, thank you so much for joining me. It's always a nice conversation with you. I remember our conversations the first year when I was kind of just talking about the idea of the podcast just as kind of like a thing we could do, and I was on episode 5.
You're doing great work. As I say, I really follow your posts, obviously, on social media. I've listened to your episodes.
Thank you very much.
Date.
Yeah. Oh, brilliant. There we go.
I am one of your listeners. But no, you're doing an important thing, and I'm really glad to see the student union have really recognised that as well.
They have, yes.
You've been getting some support from
them. I am glad for the support the student union given this year, and I'm hoping next year will be a similar scenario. A lot of things are happening, which is great. And if you'd like to get involved in that, listeners, you can find us on Instagram at Durham Tenants Union. And if you have a problem with your landlord or any issues that have been raised today, please email tenants.union@durham.ac.uk. If you'd like to get in touch with Matt about a deposit more specifically, get my deposit back on Instagram. They're also on Facebook. They also have a website. We share their posts occasionally. I'm sure you can find it from there if you're having trouble finding it. Matt's great, as you've heard. And yeah, we'll hopefully be back soon. Good luck with your exams if you're still sitting them. There'll hopefully be another episode in 2 weeks' time, depending on when this comes out. But if not, we'll see you again in June. But if not, thank you for listening. Thank you for coming, Matt.
Thank you for having me.
And until the next time.
Purple Radio Podcasts.
Thanks for downloading this Purple Radio podcast. For more great content and to listen live, head to purpleradio.co.uk.